The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for November 12th, 2021. This week's show is a rerun that originally aired just under a year ago on December 4th of 2020, which was immediately after the last presidential election, which was a very interesting time. So let's revisit those days now. Enjoy. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for December 4th, 2020. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment, but first, a word from one of our new sponsors.
This fall, a new sitcom set in Milwaukee about two wacky people and the governor they own. Get ready for Charles and David.
Coke Industries Incorporated.
Give us any fact, we'll fake it. Give us any law, we'll break it. We're gonna make our extremes come true. Doing it Coke way, not just climate change deniers. We're right-wing nut suppliers. We're gonna make our memes come true. Doing it Coke way, there's no one we won't buy. Walker, Christie, even Herman Cain this time. There's no Coke blocking us. We make our own truth.
We've got the front groups.
We come off like all shuckers, but we're too rich Coke suckers. We're gonna buy all your dreams, that's true. And we'll do it Coke way, yes, Coke way. Turn government into a joke. We'll do it Coke way, yes, Coke way. Make the whole country go broke for Coke and Coke.
This fall, Charles and David, two kooky billionaires, try to make it on their own in Wisconsin. It's a tea party of fun. Check listings. Local crimes may vary.
So, just as I predicted, the polls seriously undercounted Trump supporters, and the Democrats ended up spending tons of cash on lost causes rather than spending it where they could have actually done some good. The Democrats were expecting a major increase in House seats.
I barely watch what you're saying.
They thought they could take the Senate.
Just lay back and watch the widescreen and believe it all when it isn't true.
Instead, they lost seats in the House. They did not take the Senate.
They own the gas you're pumping out.
While Joe Biden did end up winning the presidency, even that was a close thing that could have easily gone the other way. What the left needs to understand is that the rump is leading a populist movement. Ironically, starting a populist movement is what I've been preaching that we need to do here in the Thunderbolt since its very first publication back in 2011.
She likes it nice and hard. When her soaps are on TV, she buys it by the yard. Gramps leans in the room saying it's a bunch of crap, watching football games for hours with tortillas on his lap. Now me, I like my media. I like it nice and thick. Throwing options at the walls to see which ones will stick. But to formulate opinions from what I see is a joke, because American TV is owned by Pepsi and
a right-wing populist movement that is being led by a narcissistic psychopath from hell wasn't really what I had in mind. But I guess the right-wingers just beat us to the punch. And make no mistake, virtually no one was actually voting for Joe Biden. This election was almost purely either pro-Trump or anti-Trump. And while anti-Trump won, that fixes almost nothing. The shite is about to hit the fan no matter what anyone does. And now Joe Biden will be blamed for all the things that are about to happen. Bernie Sanders was also leading a populist movement. And I really wish we could have witnessed a Sanders versus Trump contest, as I suspect that would have been a quite different animal than the beast we ended up with. But Bernie Sanders was literally robbed of that nomination, and so now we have what we have. And one of a whole bunch of reasons that the rump won in 2016 was because the Democrats took Labor's vote for granted, and they seriously underestimated how utterly loathsome NAFTA was to the working class. During his 2008 campaign, Barack Obama was promising organized labor that he would repeal NAFTA. But literally, at the same time that he was making those promises, his people were up in Canada reassuring the Canadians that Obama's threats to pull out of NAFTA were pure BS. That Obama was feeding to the working class so they would vote for him. Then after taking office, Barack Obama not only never even attempted to repeal NAFTA, but he did quite the opposite and started trying to negotiate an even worse trade deal called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which deal eventually went down in flames, but only after a massive popular uprising that I personally participated in. Barack Obama made a long list of promises when he was running for office, in fact. And he not only failed to fulfill virtually any of those promises, but he actually did the complete opposite. Barack Obama promised, quote, Wall Street lobbyists will have no place in my White House, unquote. But as soon as he has safely won the election, he turned his official White House economic team over to Lawrence Summers and Robert Rubin before he even officially assumed the office. Stone white, so delicate, lost in the cold. You were always so lost in the dark. The rum, remembering, on the other hand,
you used to be
promised
so drowned, you were
to pull out of NAFTA.
So much more than everything. Oh, for the last,
and then he actually did pull out of NAFTA.
Oh,
the rump promised a wall. He got at least part of that. He promised anti-choice judges. Boy, did he ever deliver on that promise. In fact, from a pure policy standpoint, and from the standpoint of popular support from the white working class, the rump's reign has been a spectacular success. An almost supermajority of white women voted for the rump in 2020 at an even higher rate than they did in 2016. Also, you cannot just dismiss out of hand the Rump's allegations that the election was stolen from him. I actually think it is quite probable that Joe Biden did actually win this election, all fair and square, that their fraction magic vote counting software wasn't needed this time. But I couldn't swear to that. Even the Rump's promise to drain the swamp was fulfilled to a large extent. True, he immediately thereafter refilled that swamp with creatures even more repugnant. Who'd have thunk that was even possible? But what a lot of voters saw was Donald Trump spitting right into the eye of the corrupt, warmongering Democratic Party machine that had shipped all of their jobs overseas and then given trillions to the banksters, whilst Main Street was being stripped down and parted out like a stolen car in a chop shop. In 2016, the American working class got a chance to give a big middle finger to the Democrats in general and Hillary Clinton in particular. And they did so with gusto. Donald Trump became their champion. People on the left assume that since the Rump is a proven racist, misogynistic liar, that anyone who votes for the Trump must then support racism, misogyny,
complicated,
and endless lies.
Cool. Cool.
Well, Joe Biden supported mass murdering thousands of families all over the planet.
Complicated.
And Joe Biden favored
complicated
mass incarcerating an entire
cool
generation
cool
of black youth. Biden's rhetoric
cool
back when he was pushing Bill Clinton's infamous crime bill was just as racist and just as full of dog whistles as anything that Donald Trump has said. Joe Biden is also a serial liar. Does everyone forget that Joe Biden's first White House bid imploded because he got caught lying? So if supporting Donald Trump means you also support racism, misanthropy, and lies, then does that mean if you support Joe Biden, then you must also support using hellfire missiles to fry a bunch of babies?
Complicated.
Yes, on the one hand,
complicated,
many of the Rump's supporters
cool
are indeed
cool
the very personifications of every reprehensible mindset that humanity needs to leave far behind us,
complicated,
and forgotten.
complicated.
But on the other hand,
cool.
I'm also
cool.
convinced
cool.
that the vast majority of Trump supporters are merely uninformed rather than evil. Not knowing the facts is often a curable condition. I'm not sure if evil is a curable condition or not. But in either case, education is almost always preferable to legislation. So I was very fortunate not only to always be a privileged white guy my whole life, but I was also incredibly fortunate to have been educated in the California public school system of the 1960s, which was widely acknowledged as the best in the entire world at the time. In addition, any California resident who academically qualified could also attend the University of California tuition free. And partly thanks to that, California thrived and became both an economic hub and a cultural center for the entire planet. Well, Ronald Reagan put a stop to all that, thanks largely to policies implemented during Reagan's tenure as governor. California's public schools are now rated 48th in the United States. But the state of California now has the second largest prison system in the world. Those two facts are intimately interconnected, by the way. So I have studied the habits of totalitarian strategists, and I am constantly on the lookout for the techniques that are commonly used by corrupt demagogues. Therefore, I can see all of that stuff coming from a mile away. The majority of the general public, though, has found other things to do with their lives, and most of them have not studied the habits of totalitarian strategists, and they often just haven't gotten around to researching the techniques that are commonly used by corrupt demagogues. That doesn't mean that they are evil. It just means they are uninformed in that particular area of knowledge. They simply do not recognize those strategies when they are being deployed. They simply do not recognize a corrupt demagogue when they encounter one. And I am convinced that if most people have the actual facts put to them, and most importantly, put to them in a manner that they can respect, then I think they would no longer tolerate totalitarian strategies or corrupt demagogues. The trick is to put the information out there in a manner that the recipient will respect. I would also note that usually the best way to earn respect is to give respect. And with that, we're going to take a quick station break.
We at Koch Industries wanted to know what freedom means. So we got opinions from the people who matter the most. Ordinary Americans.
What does freedom mean to me? I guess it means people much richer than I can get huge tax breaks, even though they export jobs to other countries. In fact, because they outsource jobs. That should be required.
It means really rich people can spend so much money on their favorite political causes that it completely drowns out my voice. I mean, the less you hear from me, the better.
It means a pair of wealthy industrialists can prevent any meaningful progress against global warming, thus dooming the rest of us to a century of weather disasters.
And what would you do if these freedoms were taken away?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I guess I'd shoot up a crowded mall. Maybe a college campus.
I'd blow myself up in a bus, and I'd make sure the bomb had, you know, a lot of nails and glass and stuff.
I'd start kidnapping children.
Hey, you know what? Ordinary Americans love freedom. Why don't you?
The proceeding was paid for by dark money routed through an offshore account to a dummy nonprofit and distributed to a grassroots organization that would be nothing, and I mean nothing, without our help. So maybe they should think about that.
Maybe they should indeed. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
The final edition presents a public service message from the National Denier Service.
Here at the NDS, we've been getting a lot of calls asking if the Oklahoma tornadoes are the result of global warming. The best answer is that scientists disagree. Both real scientists and the ones paid for by right-wing front groups with bland patriotic names funded by the Koch brothers. We simply don't have enough information about tornadoes, weather, or bland patriotic front groups to make an informed decision. Most of what we know about tornadoes comes from The Wizard of Oz and Twister, one a classic and the other not even available on Netflix. Trying to formulate national policy based on a mishmash of the Lollipop Guild and Helen Hunt is itself a natural disaster. As deniers, we know that denial itself is like a tornado, demolishing some truths while preserving others. David Koch is very much like a twister, except twisters don't make big donations to the institutions they subvert. So the next time a tornado hits, do what Dorothy did. Lie on your bed and wait for your black and white farmhouse to take you someplace better. With any luck, you'll make it to that Disney CGI Oz and get to hang out with the magical James Franco.
The preceding announcement was paid for by Americans for Preceding Announcements, a bland patriotic front group funded by the Kochs.
Yes, this week's show is dedicated to those fun-loving fascists and world destroyers, Charles and David Koch. But first, I just learned of yet another reason to love Carl Sagan. Not only did Carl Sagan encourage an entire generation of American youth to consider the billions and billions of stars in all those billions and billions of galaxies, and Mr. Sagan deserves serious props for that alone. But it turns out that Carl Sagan also published a baloney detection kit to help consumers of information to adjudicate the factuality of said information. just Google Carl Sagan's Baloney Detection Kit. Yes, Mr. Sagan provides a set of cognitive tools and techniques that fortify the mind against penetration by falsehoods and contains invaluable tools of healthy skepticism. According to Mr. Sagan himself, quote, "The kit is brought out as a matter of course whenever new ideas are offered for consideration. If the new idea survives examination by the tools in our kit, then we grant it warm, although tentative, acceptance. If you don't want to buy baloney, even when it is reassuring to do so, there are precautions that can be taken. Yes, there's a tried and true, consumer-tested method. So check it out today, kids. Carl Sagan's Baloney Detection Kit. And so, you may ask, what is to blame for this collapse of critical thinking amongst the American voter? Well, I have a candidate. I would place a great deal of the blame for that on a failure in education. And I suspect that failure is a feature rather than a bug. As when people understand their rights, then they often begin exercising them. From what I can gather, they stop teaching critical thinking and they quit teaching civics to school children around 30 years ago. Children are now taught to respect authority rather than to question it. They are taught that an empire that is based upon genocide and slavery is a noble endeavor. They are taught that reality is actually the complete opposite of what actual reality actually is. And in all too many cases, they accept that. They're children. They believe what they're told, just as you did as a child. Methinks, perchance, we need to start telling them something else.
You know, I just don't understand what these rioters think they're accomplishing. They could make their points so much better with peaceful demonstrations like the one on Thursday.
There was a peaceful demonstration Thursday?
Yeah, we didn't cover it, but that's not the point.
Coming soon, from the acclaimed filmmaker who brought you The Civil War, it's Ken Burns' The Republican Civil War, the story of a conflict that would have seared men's souls if anybody involved had them. In the autumn of 2013, the conflict in the Republican Party over just how stupid to be reached the boiling point. The Republicans had long been united in their embrace of greed and intolerance. The question of stupidity was tearing the party apart. Stupidity opponent Rebecca J. Gladstone wrote of the growing rift.
We suburban moderates within the party want to halt the spread of stupidity. It's a blight upon a party devoted to acquisition of money with Ivy League credentials. But these Tea Party rebels' whole lifestyle is based on stupidity. They see any attempt to curtail it as a step towards total abolition. I believe that this party cannot endure half greedy, half stupid.
For their part, the rebel forces felt that the refusal of moderates to tolerate stupidity fatally weakened the Republicans. Tea Party rebel Lucas Cornfed Higgins took up pen and paper and wrote this anguished complaint.
Stupid pussies, make me kiss my ass!
Managing to misspell ass, pussies, and stupid entirely without irony. Clearly, stupidity was not going to just go away. Matters came to a head at the Battle of the Debt Ceiling. Rebel Commander Ted Cruz devised a strategy based on the relentless pursuit of unattainable goals using unworkable tactics, the very epitome of the stupidity-based approach. During a lull in the fighting, one of Cruz's foot soldiers wrote home.
Dearest Mother, today Commander Cruz, or Marse Ted as we call him, came around to urge each of us to be brave in the forthcoming fight, and expressing his regret that he can't be there. Oh, Mother, when will this cruel Obamacare end so that we can live unencumbered by individual mandates?
It was a question that would not be answered until after many bitter Republican primary battles ensued, causing the loss of many more congressional seats. Ken Burns tells the story of the carnage, the passion, and the stupidity as only he can in The Republican Civil War. Don't miss it.
The Republican Civil War is made possible by generous grants from David and Charles Koch.
So do you remember my maxim that the kind of person who would actively aspire to attain positions of political power is usually exactly the kind of person you don't want to be attaining any positions of political power? You might remember that I advocated for a draft wherein we choose our leaders rather than them choosing us, and where it is forbidden to campaign or to make any attempts to directly influence voters except by your acts. Now that would be democracy. Well, there's a village in rural Russia called Povolikino. And Povolikino is the kind of town where everyone knows each other. And a problem came up when the pro-Kremlin mayoral candidate, Nikolai Lokchev, ran for re-election. For you see, he had no challengers. Now, while that may seem like a good thing, the problem was a legal requirement that at least two candidates must run for office in order for the election to be valid. And therefore, Mayor Lokchev persuaded his cleaning lady, Marina Udgardskaya, to run for the office. So from all accounts, Miss Udgardskaya is a very kind and generous person, and she was most happy to help out her boss. Now, since this was a sham election, neither candidate campaigned or tried to influence the voters in any manner. There were no billboards or yard signs. But it turned out that this wasn't a sham election at all. For you see, Marina Udgardskaya won the election with nearly 62% of the vote, while the now ex-mayor Lokchev managed just 34%. This Gorodetskaya was reportedly completely overwhelmed by her electoral victory even before the story became worldwide news. Ms. Zugodskaya is reportedly laying low now and not granting interviews, but in an early interview she did say this, quote, "I didn't think people would actually vote for me. I didn't do anything at all." Unquote. Exactly. She did not have to. That's the whole point. Marina Udgodskaya is reportedly continuing with her cleaning work until Nikolai Lakhtev packs his bags and she assumes her mayoral duties. Perhaps she'll keep both jobs. In that case, maybe it's time for us to get to work. All right, that's it for the news and commentary section this week. Since the Thunderbolt calendar is still temporarily suspended, I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music now. This is a band called Yellow, Y-E-L-L-O, that I really like a lot. Enjoy.
That tune was called Tied Up in Gear. Before that, we had Oh Yeah, Oh Six. Both of those tunes from a band called Yellow, Y-E-L-L-O. I think they're from France, and I think I'm going to do some research sometime soon to find out more about them. So anyway, that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile, peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to Dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's dana98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.